I wasn't ready for how emotionally moved I was seeing the movie Selma in the beginning of January. Have many of you seen it too? Great. I really encourage you, if you haven't seen it, to see it before next Sunday, when Mark Morrison Reed will be our theme presenter at our joint service over there at Doan Stewart's Chapel. I got choked up just seeing the images of Jimmy Lee Jackson, James Reeb, and Viola Liuzzo appear on the screen. Two of them were Unitarian Universalists. Reeb was a Unitarian Universalist minister living in a predominantly African-American Boston neighborhood, sending his kids to the local public schools and working on community housing issues for the American Friends Service Committee. Liuzzo left her children in Detroit, compelled to action to support the march. Dr. King was organizing from Selma to Montgomery to advocate for voting rights. Anyone who has any doubt about how meaningful the right to vote is in a democratic society should see this movie. Sheriff Clark, who suppresses the demonstrations, was elected to support the racist status quo. When non-whites got the vote after the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965, they voted him out of office. I had realized that I had a personal connection to this story until I called my father to wish him a happy birthday this past Wednesday. I grew up in Newark, Delaware, not that far from Washington, D.C., and I knew my parents had participated in marches there, but found out that they hadn't participated in any of the marches before 1965. I was 8 that year, and my sister was 6. My father did remember, however, that James Reeb spoke at our Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Newark in 1964. The sermon he gave was well received by the congregation. After the service, my parents invited him to our house to serve him lunch before he traveled home. Though I'm afraid I don't remember it, my father introduced him to me, and we all talked during lunch. My father had a clear memory of Reeb sitting on our back steps, enjoying the spring sunshine, radiating with joy as my mother was preparing our meal. Remembering these personal connections and the humanity of those involved in history is important. History tends to flatten people into two-dimensional characters that fit the narratives leaders want to tell us to shape our views and opinions. Those old enough to remember Dr. King while he was alive are much more aware of the ways he has been mythologized, much more aware than those of us who are much younger. I heard a little of this mythologizing process listening to Ron Cortes, the historian responsible for the amazing 6-hour segments of DVD stories that he did to create a survey of Unitarian Universalist histories. 10 of us have been watching those for the last 6 weeks on Wednesday nights. The last one, he discussed Selma, calling it a seminal event in the history of Unitarian Universalism, responsible for defining our commitment to social justice and a growing commitment to anti-racism and anti-oppression work. So just what happened in Selma? How did it happen? What did the follow-up look like? And how might remembering that events 50 years later continue to affect us today. I have been asking those questions these past 6 months in preparation for this anniversary. I've been asking these questions as I've worked with Paul and Don to define our event on Saturday, and with the other Cruny ministers as we've been defining the Sunday service. Mark Morrison Reed's book and my conversations with him recently and over the many years that I have known him have given me a little insight that I'd like to share with you this morning. I'm calling it the UU backstory because my goal is to prepare you to hear him on Saturday if you decide to go to that event, and next Sunday. I know where he wants to go, and I want to prepare you to be ready to go with him. First, we need to contextualize Selma in the flow of historical events that catalyzed desegregation. Mark emphasizes how important fighting the Nazis was during World War II to raise the consciousness of the white community. The Nazis were blatant racists, imprisoning and killing millions of Jews, Roma, Poles, Slavic people, and other minorities that they despised. Some European Americans and many people of African descent connected the dots, looking back at the racism in our country, particularly in the South. They recognized we had a similar problem here at home. During the war, people of African descent were recruited into jobs and military service. Their hard work and their bravery was also noticed. Once the war was over, the scene was set for things to begin changing. First came a series of Supreme Court decisions and executive orders that got the ball rolling. In 1946, Morgan v. Virginia made it illegal to segregate interstate buses. In 1947, interracial members of the Congress of Racial Equality, called CORE, traveled on interstate buses and trains through border states, testing this new freedom. In 1948, Shelley v. Kramer made restrictive housing covenants illegal. That same year, Truman desegregated the federal workforce, including the military. In 1954, Brown v. Topeka desegregated public education. In 1955, 14-year-old Emmett Till was killed. And that December, Rosa Parks decided her feet were just too tired to go to the back of the bus, starting the Montgomery bus boycott. And that opened the door for Dr. King to step onto the world stage. In 1957, the first civil rights legislation since Reconstruction was passed by Congress. And in 1960, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, started sit-ins. The big event that drew 1,600 Unitarian Universalists was the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom in 1963. They were part of a crowd of 250, some estimate, people who took part. The UUA president, Dana McLean Greeley, led the UU contingent. Throughout the post-World War II era, Unitarians and Universalists involved in fair housing and school desegregation efforts. There were a significant number of our ministers who were involved in NAACP chapters and chapters of the Urban League. Civil rights work was fast becoming a cause that could bring together the Unitarians and the Universalists in the Unitarian Universalist Association formed in 1961. Ministers had been prepared for civil rights work in some of our seminaries. The first half of the 20th century saw the influence of the social gospel movement on liberal clergy. Heaven was something humanity was responsible for creating here on earth. The social gospel Christians rejected toleration of oppression in exchange for an eternal reward. Clarence Skinner at Tufts University, James Luther Adams at Meadville Lombard Seminary and then Harvard Divinity School, Howard Thurman at Boston University School of Theology, who was influential on the upbringing of Dr. King, and Reinhold Niebuhr at Union Seminary, were all prominent liberal professors who were shaping these young minds. In this way, a significant number of our ministers were primed to respond to the violence they witnessed when they watched in real time the police and vigilantes beat and tear gas nonviolent marchers attempting to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge. The millions who watched on television the unfolding events during the interruption of a show about the 20-year anniversary of the end of the war and the Nuremberg trials couldn't miss the parallels. Selma just didn't happen. Those who saw the movie will remember this. Dr. King strategically chose Selma as the place to grab the attention of the world. He succeeded beyond his wildest dreams. The telegram that he sent after Bloody Sunday involved and many denominations, and it moved dozens of our ministers and leaders to go to Selma. The interfaith response was unprecedented. The multiracial, multi-faith gathering to fight for justice was something that I doubt those clergy had ever experienced in their entire lives. And in that magical moment that brought together people seeking justice and solidarity, they tasted the experience of what Dr. King called the beloved community. And that taste was good, very good. And they hungered for more. Mark Morrison Reed brings their voices to us in his book. I wanted you to hear some of them earlier because you get a taste of the power of what they experienced. And those who didn't go also were affected and changed too. I spent Wednesday afternoon in our archives, looking for clues about what happened back here in Albany in 1965. Sadly, there is little evidence saved from that year for me to go on. What I did find, though, was an editorial printed in the Times Union by our minister at the time, the Reverend Nick Cardell. I'd like to quote from it now. Public awareness and sensitivity has been steadily mounting in the days, the years, the weeks, and the months that have passed in the struggle for civil rights. Now the fever pitch of public indignation may, at long last, encourage and enable the Congress to guarantee the most basic civil right of citizens equally to all. The right to vote. This last week has seen aroused people all across the nation demonstrating their concern for civil rights and their grief over the tragic events in Selma. In our own city, in Albany, hundreds gathered last Sunday at the Capitol in a service of affirmation and memory. They reaffirmed our knowledge that when even one man is unjustly deprived of the right to assemble, to petition, to vote, all men must rouse themselves. There we expressed our grief for those who have suffered and died for our cause. At that same time, many contributed generously to the newly established Reverend James Reeb Fund, the purpose of which is to provide for the needs of families, both Negro and white, who have suffered by reason of their involvement in the struggle. I believe I knew Jim Reeb well enough to know that he would not have been pleased to have his name singled out for any special honor. Many are the names, known and unknown, of those who have died in this cause. Jim would have been proud if his sacrifice served as to remind us that we all have a responsibility for the injustice and suffering that occurs in our communities, whether they be Selma, Alabama, or Albany, New York. Cardell did more than write this eloquent public letter. He traveled to Washington, D.C. for a demonstration there and participated in getting a chapter of the Urban League started in Albany. The next year, you'd read about him in the paper protesting the Albany political machine, buying votes for $5 if the Democrats voted. Although Cardell did not go to Selma, he caught the spirit. Other ministers who were there brought that spirit home to a congregation that didn't catch it. They hadn't had that powerful experience of beloved community and didn't understand the changes they saw in their minister, bringing home a newfound passion for change and community engagement. They couldn't support that level of energy and commitment to racial justice work. And then came the Black Power movement and the Black Power controversy within our association. And then came the Pentagon Papers and awareness of the depravity of the Vietnam War. And then came the gay and lesbian liberation movement after Stonewall. And then came the women's movement and the fight for their rights. Someplace along the way, that fervor experienced in Selma was lost. And some important lessons in community organizing for effective change were neglected as well. And this is why we need to return to Selma again 50 years later. Those lessons come alive again when we read Mark Morrison Reed's book, and I'm so grateful that he will be with us this next weekend to help find those lessons again. What are those lessons? Well, you could read his book, but better, come to that joint service and let him tell you himself. I'm going to stop there and one of the things that's part of that spirit of lessons is the determination. It's one of the qualities that's needed for motivating social change. A fierceness drives us to overcome our fears and speak truth to power. May we bring that same determination to our commitment to support our community here, that is one of the beacons of liberty and justice of our society. Members and friends of our congregation, support it with a financial